let me close with this real quick. The whole thing is so difficult. And I'm like you, I'm busy, I don't have spare time. I can spend all my spare time with church people. And one of the things that Sandra and I are so committed to is to developing relationships with unchurched friends. And recently, we had a major test in this area that I just want to share with you as we close. Three kids. My oldest is Andrew. He's 9 years old, or about, excuse me, he's about to be 11. And he, my second one is 9. Sorry. Okay. Just want to get through this quick. I have 1 minute and 17 seconds to tell you this story. He got on the all-star baseball team this spring, and he barely made it. He was like two guys. It was, you know, like three kids, and two of them got on, one of them didn't. He was one of the two. Barely got on, not one of the better players on the team. Anytime, Sandra, we play rec ball. We don't play church ball. We don't have any church sports programs at our church on purpose. And so this is our mission field. This is where Sandra, our neighborhood has been a dismal failure evangelistically. But boy, in the environment of Little League Baseball, we've developed some wonderful friendships. And this spring, and we talk to our kids. This is why we're here. We're here to be an influence. We're here to connect. And we pray for the kids on the team and the unchurched parents. Well, as the all-star season went on, Andrew wasn't playing very much at all, like none. And they'd put him in right field, they'd pull him out, you know, and then one time they sent him to left field and then pulled him before the inning actually started, and breaking his little heart, just breaking his heart. And those of you who have kids in sports, it's an emotion that only exists there, doesn't it? One guy's going, yeah, I'm with you. If you don't have kids in sports, you're going to look at me and go, you know, get over it, it's just baseball. But it's a unique emotion. So we're watching our son just have his heart broken. He's handling it. You know, he's trying to be strong. Well, this all culminated one night. They'd tell him after every game, don't worry, Andrew, we're going to put you in for 2 innings. Don't worry, we're going to put you in for 3 innings next game. And they wouldn't, and they wouldn't. So I'm beginning to have negative feelings toward the coaches, to put it mildly. Okay? Well, one night, they've won enough games, and now they're going to go to the state finals. And if they get through state, they go to the World Series. So they're going to state. No way they cannot go to state. They're way ahead. One night, we're playing a team. They're beating us 12 to 3. Doesn't matter if we win this game. So I'm thinking, now's the time to put in the kids that you don't normally play. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. You're going to lose this one anyway. And I'm very, very angry by this point. Well, finally, they put Andrew in right field. And then they put him in the batting order, and just before he gets up to bat, they pull him and substitute another batter. Now I'm making a really long story short, but let me just say this. It was a level of anger I have never experienced as an adult. And my wife, who is the most calm and sweet, I mean, I've never seen her mad, or she's never yelled. I mean, I could see that she was beginning to levitate up off the bleachers and was going to move into the dugout. Because, there's Andrew with his batting helmet on, and then he has to turn and trot back into the dugout. And this game doesn't matter. Anyway, I was so angry. I got up, and I went around the backstop, and I went to the other side of the ball field, and I'm up against the fence now. And I can now look across the field into the dugout, and there's my son in there all by himself, hanging on the fence, kind of watching his teammates play. And I just know his heart's broken. And I'm having imaginary conversations with the coaches. And I'm winning. And there's a crowd, okay? And I'm just rehearsing because there's no excuse for this. And I'm just trying to pray, but I don't even want to pray. And I'm just looking at him, and I'm just mad. The game's about to end. They're losing. Who cares? I was just, it was just more emotion than I could contain. And I hear a voice behind me. I hear a guy say, Andy? I turn around. There's this big guy with a baseball cap on, just, you know, shirt and short pants. I said, yeah. He said, hey. And he told me his name. He said, we've never met, and he starts talking, and I'm thinking, look, I'm focused, okay? I'm angry, I'm rehearsing my speech, you know? Oh, I didn't tell you this part. After the game, both teams are going to go to Brewster's together and have ice cream. With all the coaches, they're going to pay, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to Brewster's anyway. So it's an ice cream place. Now, this is a true story. And so this guy keeps talking, and I'm so irritated. And finally, he says, Andy, he said, I just got to tell you. And he comes over beside me, so I'm kind of looking over his shoulder. The game's about to end. He says, I hadn't been in church ever. He says, over 30 years, hadn't been in church. And my wife started going to North Point, and she started trying to get me to come. And he's telling me this story, and inside I'm going, oh, no, you don't, Lord. Oh, no. I've come over here to be mad. I've come over here to rehearse a speech. This is Andrew's last game. Nobody treats my son this way. There's no excuse for this. And you are not going to mess me up with this story about some unchurched person. He goes on and on and on. The game is over. He's going on and on about he came to North Point and he began to read his Bible. Got in a small group and it's changed his life and he's in Bible study. And I know I'm supposed to be happy and I don't even want to hear it because I can't wait to get over and talk to the coach. He goes on and on and on and on. And the more he talked, it's like God in his grace and mercy. It's Annie. Remember. Remember? I finish as I go back over and get the family. I said, Andrew, you don't want to go get ice cream with the team, do you? Because I don't want to face these coaches, you know? He said, yes, sir. His heart was so broken. Oh, us. So we get our stuff. We get the whole family in the car. I have a second-born son named Garrett who can sense everything that's happening. We're all sitting. We can't even talk. We're so mad in the car. But Garrett picks up on the emotion. He starts going, I can't believe the coach, and I can't believe, and I can't believe, and I can't believe it. And finally, in that moment of some kind of clarity, again by God's grace, I said to my family, I said, you know what? Didn't we decide this spring? We're not here because of baseball. Isn't that right, Andrew? I said, here's how I feel. I told them how I felt. I said, I'm just going to go home. I don't want you to have to go through that anymore. They promised. I said, but you know what? And Sandy reminded me later. I said this. I don't remember saying it. I said, I think something good will come from this. But we can't quit because this isn't about baseball. And I made myself drive to Brewster's. And I cannot tell you how I did not want to get out of the car and see this coach. Let me finish this up. Time goes by. This past Sunday, coach and his whole family, third row, North Point Community Church. I appreciate that. I really don't deserve applause on this one. That was the turning point. That night, if I can tell you, that night, that very night at Brewster's was a turning point relationally. We've seen God just do some amazing, amazing things. And I can't tell you how close I was to leaving. Sandra is as close as she has ever been to just getting up and marching in the dugout and rescuing her son from the pain. They had a meeting with the coaches and the parents. And the coach went on and on and on about Andrew Stanley's attitude. And the rest of the team needs to have an attitude like Andrew Stanley, on and on. And our whole family has seen. But I'll tell you the story to tell you this. Life is brutal on vision. It's brutal on vision for the people on your staff and the people in your church. And if we as leaders can't force ourselves through the busyness and the urgency and the pain of life to maintain a grip on the vision, they won't either. But when you do and when we do, the three words reverse. Because when you live it, you have something to celebrate. And when you personally have something to celebrate, you will cast vision with such passion that people will go with you, follow you, and embrace what you've asked them to embrace. But it begins with the question, will we live it? Will we live it to the degree that we have something personally to celebrate? And then will we take our personal celebration and allow that to fuel our vision casting? And if we do, your vision will begin to stick because it stuck first on your heart, illustrated through the stories. And then you have an opportunity and a responsibility as a leader to stick it everywhere you can in your organization. Say it with me one more last time. You got to cast it. Say cast it.
Cast it.
Then you got to.
Celebrate.
Then you got to.
Live.
You got to.
Cast.
You got to.
Celebrate.
You got to.
Live.
But to begin with, you got to.
Live.
And then you can have something to.
Celebrate.
And then you can.
Cast.
Thanks very, very much for letting me do this.